We talked about the two different types of workers, right? There's a hourly worker and someone who's contracted to do a certain job. An hourly worker, we said, was able to quit in the middle because no one can make us be a servant to another person. And if no one can force me to work from 9 to 5, I could quit if I want. And we said, if you're not limited to that amount of time, so then you're a contracted worker and you don't have that heter and you can quit. If you do quit, so then you have the lower hand, you end up taking a loss if the employer has to hire someone else at a higher rate. And then we said if you made a kinyan, according to the shach, you could be forced to finish the job. The bezdin could force you to finish the job. That was the first week. Last week we learned that if quitting will cause a financial loss to the employer, so then, even though you're an hourly worker, you're paid for that specific time, you have no right to quit. And if you do quit in that situation, it's causing a loss. He has two options. The employer has two options. He could either hire another worker at a higher rate. We said either twice the rate. If he has something that belongs to the worker, he could do up to the value of the property that he's holding. And the other way, the other option he had is to trick the employee and say, oh, $1,000 wasn't good enough for playing at the chasana tonight. I'll give you $20,000. And then after they finish playing for $20,000, you give them the $1,000. Right? Those were the two options to deal with someone quitting when there's going to be a monetary loss. So tonight I want to present one last shiur involving the rights and obligations of the employee. In future shiur, we'll talk about the rights and obligations of the employers. But I'll tell you a case like this. This is a composite from different shuvas and halachas. So there was a balabas who had a boy who was going to be bar mitzvah. And he hired a rebbe to teach him the maftar, so he could learn the maftar at shul, and also to teach him gemara so he could finish a mesechta by his bar mitzvah. So the rebbe was doing two things. He was going to teach him longer range, he was teaching him this mesechta, he should learn gemara, finish a mesechta in time, and he was also supposed to teach him the trap, how to lay them after. 3 weeks before the bar mitzvah, the Rebbe has a call from Eretz Yisrael that his son just got engaged, or he's about to get engaged, and he had to fly to Eretz Yisrael to help out his son, make arrangements for the shidduch, for the chasana, for the l'chaim, and he told the father of the bar mitzvah boy, I'm sorry, I have to go to Eretz Yisrael for 2 weeks. And the father of the bar mitzvah boy says, yeah, how about, but you didn't even get to the trap yet, he doesn't know how to lay, and he didn't finish the mesechta yet. You can't leave me now. And he said, you know, you care about your son's bar mitzvah, I care about my son's chasana, and I'm going. So the father of the bar mitzvah boy says, okay, I'm not going to pay you a penny. And the father of the chassan, the Rebbe, says, you have to pay me everything. It's not my fault that I have to go to Eretz Yisrael. I want full pay. So who's right based on what we've learned until now? To make it a little more practical, the father ends up hiring someone else. Let's make it right. He hired someone else, and at a higher rate, because it's 3 weeks to do a crash course, and the guy just didn't do it. Even though he got paid a lot of money, this new Rebbe, the substitute Rebbe, was not able to make the child ready to lane, and he wasn't ready to finish the mesechta. Okay, so now the father, the bar mitzvah boy, says, okay, so I can't get blood from you, but at least pay me I want to take from your wages the money from that I had to hire for the second Rebbe that didn't work out. Right?
Even if it worked out.
And even if it worked out. Fine. Yeah. Okay. Right. He cannot quit. Yes. Well, I would say more than that. Even if he was hired to learn with his child from 9 to 11 every evening, and he's a sachir based on the second shir, this is a davar ha'aved, right? It's no different, no worse than the band playing at the chasana. Here the kid is learning for his bar mitzvah parsha, and he's not going to be prepared. Right? Even if it was paid 9 to 11, do what you need to do, 9 to 11, learn Gemara, and the rest of the time, you work it out. I just want you here, 9 to 11, as a sochir, as a poel, but you can't quit. You should not be able to quit because it's a davar ha'avig. The kid's not going to be ready for his bar mitzvah, right? Yeah, yeah. Here we're talking about the halachas of quitting. Right? This is part three and the last part of can a worker quit in a job. And tonight's topic is an onus. So first Gemara is in Bava Metzia. Gemara Bava Metzia, we saw a little bit the first night. It brings a braisa. Ha'shachas ha'poel. If someone hired a worker, in the middle of the work, in the middle of the day, he heard that one of his relatives had died that he has to be in avelus for. Or he got heat stroke, right? He was got hired to mow the lawn. Mace lo mace. Someone died for him. Someone of his relatives died. You were going to see whether it has to be. How about if it's a cousin or something like that, right? Or a grandfather. He got heat stroke, right? He got hired to mow the lawn, and he had to finish by that day. He had to finish by that day because he had a citation because his grass was growing so tall that if it wasn't finished by the next day, he was going to have a fine. And he hired the guy to mow the lawn, and he got sick in the middle and quit. That's a davar ha'avud. Im sachir hu, if he was an hourly worker, right? He was just paid to work from a babysitter, like from 9 to 11. So then, no saying lo scharo. He has to give him his full wage, so rated for the half that he did. That's what Rashi says. He gets half of the wage, and he doesn't lose anything, even though it was a davar ha'avud. Right? Even though it would cause a loss to the owner, he doesn't lose anything. Im kablan, and if he was contracted to do a certain job, then nothing, no kablan, so he gets prorated for the amount of the lawn that he mowed, he gets paid for that also. Right? So from here we see a clear hetzin, passing in Shulchan Aruch, that even though a worker is not allowed to quit, whether it's an hourly worker or a worker by the job, he can't quit if it's going to cost a financial loss. And we said even not a financial loss, even if it was just a loss of inconvenience, you're not going to have a band at your chasana, you're not going to have a caterer at your chasana, right? The chasana could still go on. But that's still called a davar ha'avud. But if it was an onus, the guy got sick, or he had to go to Levi, it was an unavoidable circumstance, so then that law doesn't apply, he's allowed to quit, and he has the upper hand also. He gets his full wages prorated. That's the Gemara Bava Metzia. The Rishonim asks Akasha that there's a stira from the Gemara in Kiddushin. The Gemara in Kiddushin says, another Braisa, is talking about an evidivi there. Right, an eved ivri, a Jew becomes a servant. The law is he has to work for 6 years. At the end of 6 years, he goes out free. Right, so the Braisa says, what happens if he gets sick in the middle of those 6 years? So the Braisa says, Cholash Shalash, if he got sick for 3 years, V'avat Shalash, and then he worked 3 years, Eino Chayev L'Hashlam, he doesn't have to make up those 3 years that he missed because he was sick. But if he was sick all 6 years, then Chayv LaHashem, he has to work another 6 years. So from this Gemara, it seems clear that by the Eved Ivri, even though he didn't work 3 of the years, right, he worked half the time, the other half he didn't work, he still gets his full pay. He doesn't have to, right, he got paid in the beginning to work for 6 years as an Eved Ivri, as a slave. He got sick 3 of those years and he doesn't have to make it up. So it means that he got paid for 3 years of being sick. So I'll tell you some of the answers of the Rishonim, and they're brought by the Raman Shulchan Aruch. So in the second issue of the handout, you have that box, that section that says the Tirusim between the Stira of the Sugyan Bava Metzia and the Sugyan Kedushin. So the Rush gives one answer, and he says, it's like an intuitive answer. He says the Gemara in Kiddushin said that he got sick 3 years and then he worked 3 years. So that means that, right, it means what it says. He first got sick and then he worked afterwards. So the Rush says, any worker, if the worker got sick and then, you know, he just shows up the next day and the employer doesn't say anything to him, we assume that the employer was mochel the fact that he had missed the week or the 2 weeks or whatever. He didn't say anything, so he forgave him that he's not forced. That meant that he doesn't care. I don't mind. You know, he didn't say a word. He didn't say, Oh, where were you the last 2 weeks? You think I'm going to pay you? He just went back, right? So that's the Gemara in Kiddushin. The Gemara in Kiddushin says he worked about 3 years, and then he worked 3 years, and the employer didn't say anything. So that's why the halacha is that he gets his full pay. It was it's a din of mechila. He was mochel it. He forgave it. Well, that's what the Rosh says. The Rosh says that he knows the halacha, that he's not going to go further, and he must have forgiven him. And the case of a Messiah is talking where he worked first and then he got sick, like the case that we said in the beginning. So there we have no proof to say that he forgave him for the missing time, so of course he shouldn't have to pay him for the time that he missed. That's the Rosh's answer. I mean, it's a big chiddush. So the Rosh is saying that if it would be reversed, if, you know, like the case I said, he was hired to work for, you know, let's say the case of the Rebbe, he was hired to tutor for those 13 weeks, and he missed weeks 4, 5, and 6, so according to the Rosh, he would get paid for all 13 weeks, because he came back in week 7, and the guy didn't say anything. It must be, I forgave you for week 4, 5, and 6 that you missed. Right, that's the first answer. But Rabbeinu Meir had a dream. He had a dream of the answer to this question. And his dream, in his dream, he got the answer, and he said that the Gemara in Kiddushin is a case of an Eved Ivri. What you do with an Eved is you pay him everything in advance, like you pay off the debt, right? He stole and he had to pay a debt, so you get sold, and his employer, his owner, pays off the debt. So in that case, when he gets sick, he doesn't have to work to pay up the time that he missed. But if, and the same thing would be a regular employee. If you pay the employee up front, you gave him the $1,300 for the 13 weeks up front, and then he got sick in between, so he doesn't have to give the money back also. The Gemara Bar Mitzvah is talking in a normal case where he was getting paid per week, so in that case, or after he's finished the job, so in that case, he's only going to get paid for the amount of days that he worked, not for the time that he missed. Good question. Yeah, Bruce?
You don't have the option.
Yeah, when you're asking what Chaim's asking, what's the svara for it? And the Shach says, he says, don't listen to dreams. The Ramah brings this reason, the Shach says, you'd listen to dreams? He says, there's a Gemara that Ramey was visiting an inn, and there was a dream that the innkeeper had a dream that the money was somewhere, and the Gemara says, you don't listen to dreams. Right, so you don't listen to dreams in that case where the guy said the money is some certain place that this guy had stolen money. So over here you have an answer that doesn't seem to make any sense. See, what's the difference if he got paid up front? So pay the money back. If what's the difference? So the Shach rejects that question, that answer out of hand. But there are answers. Some answer the fact that he paid up front turns him into like of an Eved. It makes him more like in that case of an Eved, and it's his loss. It's considered his loss, not the Eved's loss, not the worker's loss. So anyway, these answers are given by the Ramah. You can see in the front of your sheet. The Ramah says that they only get paid for what they worked. They have the upper hand. And then he says, if the Baal Bayis accepted the workers back after the onus had passed, after that situation had ended, and they started doing their work again, so he has to pay the entire job. And then he says, some say that if he had paid up front, he also doesn't deduct anything. And that's where he ends up. The Shach says both of those answers are wrong, because there's a difference between an Eved Ivri and a worker. An Eved Ivri, you own, this is Tosfos in Kiddushin, you own that servant's body to some extent for those 6 years. It's not just that he has a certain obligation, you know, we have a deal here. It's you own rights to him. He's your slave, and marry him off to a Shifcha Kananis. You see, it's not just that he's an employee. He's a different type of person. He's owned by the master. But a worker isn't like that. A worker is, you just have a relationship. You know, right now you're working for me, next time I'll work for you. Right? It's no kinyan in the person's body, in his physical body. So in that case, Tosu says, there's a big difference. If that servant is my property, and my property gets damaged or gets sick, so why should they ever lose out? It's just like if my field got damaged from a flood, so my Eved, my property, got damaged from a flu. It's my loss. It's my loss when my field gets messed up. It's my loss when my servant, right? That's the shor. It's my loss when it's something that belongs to me gets messed up. But an employee isn't my property. He's just working for me, so it's not my loss. It's his loss. He didn't do the work. I don't have to pay him. And the shach says, and that's the way most poskim hold, like the shach. So the first conclusion of the night is that in most practical cases, if the guy didn't work, he doesn't get paid. Right? Even though the Rama does bring these two reasons, if he got paid up front, or if he got hired back after, he started working again after the sickness, the Rama said that he could get the full pay, but the shach rejects it, the gra rejects it. Most poskim reject the Rama. It's a fiddur, the Rama says it, but most of the Rishonim go like Tosus, the Ridva. The shach brings a list of Rishonim that say that you don't get paid for what you didn't do. Okay, so that's issue number one. And by the way, also it ends up that they're saying, even according to those svaras that would say that he should get paid the full amount, it's only if he got sick less than half of that amount of time. But if it was more than that time, so then those svaras wouldn't apply either, based on this gemara. But once again, most person will go with the shach and say that if you don't work, you don't get paid. The Nesivis says this whole idea that you're going to even get paid prorated, and this is an important factor, nogeya our case. We say you'll get paid prorated, but Nesivis says that's only if you did something, if you did something useful. Like if you mowed half the lawn, and the guy still got a citation because the rest wasn't mowed, because you couldn't find anyone else to mow it at that time. So you can't say, well, give me half the pay, I did half the job for you, it's worth nothing to me. I hired you to clean up the yard, so I won't get my citation. Right? So the Nesivis says this whole thing is talking where the guy, you can either hire someone to finish off the job, or half of it is useful. You know, the babysitter, at least you were at the chasen for 2 hours, you missed the last 2 hours, but at least she sat for you those 2 hours. So in that case, if you know, they would get the full 2 hours. But if it's not worth anything, like the case we spoke about the other week, that you hired someone to do a Sefer Torah, you hired one sofer to write a Sefer Torah because you wanted one hand running straight through the whole thing, and the guy quit in the middle, even if he quit because he got sick, right, or nothing he could do about it, I have no benefit from a half a Sefer Torah. It's worth nothing to me, assuming it's worth nothing to me. So then the worker doesn't get paid anything, right? So that's a little bit of a caveat to the halach we said there. The only time you get your pay prorated is if the employer has some benefit from it. Ruki Yeager says, from Tiferes Lemosha, another aspect of this halach of someone quitting when someone having to leave because of a bad circumstance, he says he brings over a case of someone hired a tailor to make a suit for him. And this is on the handout here, and in the middle something happened, he couldn't finish the job. So what's the guy going to do now? What's the employer going to do now? He needs a suit made. And the guy says, look, I'm sick now, but I'll be better tomorrow. And the employer says, but I'm worried, who says you'll be better tomorrow? I don't know. So the halacha is, assuming that there's a reasonable chance that he will get better, he's not allowed to hire someone else in the meantime. But even though I didn't show up because I was sick, it doesn't mean that I quit. Right, we have to be reasonable here, and so I was sick a few days, I'll finish it tomorrow. You can't hire someone else, only in the middle. That's a breach of your side of the bargain. We didn't talk about the employer's obligations yet, but that would be a breach of his obligation to fire me just because I'm sick for a few days, unless I need the suit for the chasen, or I need the suit for yantiv, and you're sick 2 days before and you're not going to finish even if you get better in time. So then Rick Yeager says from this Tiferes Lemosha that then you could hire someone else to finish off the job. Okay, so as another wrinkle, besides the fact that when someone gets sick, he doesn't lose, even though he caused the owner a loss, not only that, he also has job security. He can't get fired if he's going to reasonably be expected to get back and finish the job. And one last thing, which we really could have said first, or we could have said last, but something to keep in mind, is that all these halachas that I'm saying are all meaningless if there's a certain custom in the town. Right? If everyone knows that when a person gets sick for a day or two, he still gets his full pay, and that's what everyone does, right, in whatever case we're talking about, there's a certain custom of the trade. If someone gets sick a few days, he gets to pay, or if he gets sick 3 days, he gets fired. So then the halacha is you follow what the custom of your place is. And that's throughout. In any of these halachas, we'll have a shiurim that sometimes it even is mevatel. It overrides a real halacha. A minhag overrides a real halacha in Choshen Mishpat, in these types of halachas. So if there's a certain custom, we assume that when they entered into the contract, they meant like the customary practices of that trade in that city at that time. We're talking halachas where there is no custom, there's no, we don't know, it's a new trade, it's, you know, computer, something that they never had before, it's a city that never had any customs, a new city. But if there is an existing custom, you have to follow the custom, and certainly if there's a contract, you have to follow whatever the contract says, because they agreed under these conditions to a certain amount of sick pay, a certain amount not. And this Pitzkei Choshen, he says that, I don't know, he wrote this in Eretz Yisrael, I don't know if it's like that in America, probably not, but he says that it's very bad what's happening nowadays. He says people, they go to a doctor and they get a sick pass from the doctor so they could get their, because they're allowed a certain amount of sick days, a certain amount of personal days. So the guy wants to go on a 3-week vacation, and he only has 2 weeks of personal days and 1 week of sick days. So he goes to a doctor, his doctor friend, and he signs him that he, you know, had a sore throat, or he says he was sick. So he says that's Geneva. That's what Pesach Chosin says. You have to be very careful. You know, it's tempting. It's tempting to try to do that. But if the minig is, yeah, unless that's the minig, I guess. If the minig is, then you can just. But if the minig is, you have to really be sick. So you have to really be sick. You can't fool around with that. And he says, you know, fortunately, we see people are taking advantage of the system, and he says they should not. Okay, so that's what Pesach Chosin says. Now, someone asked, who defines what's called an onus? What's called an onus? So the Gemara said two examples. The first example was the guy had a relative that died. The second example was he got sick. The Shmuel Sadeshin says that it doesn't have to be that he got sick. He says even if his son got sick, right? His son got sick. And he brings a proof from the Gemara Nedarim. The Gemara Nedarim says that if I make a neder, I make a vow that if you don't come to me to lunch today, I'm going to prohibit all my possessions to you. You can't have any hanah from anything that's mine. So the guy has to come to lunch. If he doesn't come to lunch, he's going to be out of this guy's life. And he wanted to come, but his son got sick. The Mishnah says, if his son got sick, so then the neder doesn't go into effect. Because what could he do? The neder was only meant if he purposefully did not come. But if he wanted to come and something happened, he got sick or his son got sick, so then the halacha is the neder does not go into effect. So the Truma Sadeshin says the same thing in our case over here. Since we said if someone gets sick, the Gemara said if the person, the worker, gets sick, he's allowed to quit and he has the upper hand, he doesn't suffer any financial loss, the same halacha will be if his son gets sick. If his son gets sick, he has to go home. The Ron says he has to go home, take care of his son. If someone asks, like, where is his mother? But I guess they both need to take care of him. He has to go home. So that's also called an onus. That's what the Truma Sadeshin says. I mean, there are those who disagree with the Truma Sadeshin. Right? So the Truma the Shari Mishpat asks that maybe there's a difference between a neder and our case. A neder is, I only meant that I don't really want him. I just wanted you to come to lunch with me. I didn't really. We don't have a working relationship here. I want you to come to lunch. So if something comes up that you can't come, I don't care if it's you get sick, your son gets sick. Either way, you didn't do anything to go against me, right? But over here, where you have a worker, I hired you to work for me. There's a special heter that if you get sick, you don't lose anything from that except the prorated rate. But if your son gets sick, who says that we should go that far? The Shai Mishpat says the minig is anyway to go like this Truma Sadeshin. And then the Ramal goes, in other words, just like by neder, the sickness of a son is considered my problem, in this halachos, if I'm working, a sickness of my son is also called my problem. And how about paternity leave? Right? So the Ramal says if his wife gets sick, he's also, the Gemara said he got sick. The Truma Sadeshin added his son. He has to take care of his son. And the Rama adds, if his wife got sick also. Even if his wife got sick, she could take care of herself. But if his wife got sick, the Rama says that that's also sufficient cause to be able to leave without suffering any financial loss. Now, the way they look at that is, how about nowadays, right? In those days, if someone was sick, he really had to be there. But the person was in the hospital, Yechas V'Shalom, right? The relative's in the hospital. So should we say when the relative's in the hospital, he should be able to take off? You know, his wife had a baby. Should he be able to take off? She's getting taken care of in the hospital. I mean, what's he need to take off for? She could even have the baby without him there. You know, she has doctors and nurses. But it seems this sefer, Nesiva's Sachir, he's a posek, a Sephardi posek in Eretz Yisrael. He says it seems from the thrust of the halachas from the poskim that they're dealing also with moral support too. We're not only dealing that the person needs someone to administer the medicine or he's going to die. It's because if someone in the family is sick. Someone in the family is sick, so then it makes sense. Whatever makes sense, that whoever is usually home, you know, if the 5-year-old sick doesn't mean that both parents stay home. Like, that's not normal. But if it's something that a person will normally stay home for, so even if it's not because of the medicine, it's something that's a normal thing, a normal family duty, that's already called an onus. That's called an unavoidable circumstance which you're allowed to leave the job for and without suffering any financial consequences. And he says, based on that, the same thing will be for a simcha. Same thing should be for a simcha. You know, we're all talking about bad news. He got sick. He's an aval. And even in avelus, he said for a grandfather also. Right? A grandfather, he doesn't have to sit avelus, but it's normal. Most people go to be by their parents and help out their parents at least, or even for the grandparents. They go to a grandparent's levaya, even though they're not an aval, but it's still a normal thing to do. So he says it doesn't have to be a real aval. It's something that a person normally goes as a family obligation, and the same thing will be for a simcha. If someone normally goes for the bris, for a certain family simcha, so that's called an onus as well. And the person would be allowed to go, he says, even if it's for a yantiv, except there I'm not sure, you know, can he take off 2 weeks to fly to Eretz Yisrael to be with his parents for yantiv? There, but when he took the job, he should have told the employee and should know that my parents are in Eretz Yisrael and I want to go there for yantiv. Let's talk about a case where it's a sudden thing. His son became a chassan, or there's a bris to go to. So he says that would be called a normal, that would be called an onus also. So let's go back to our case of the Bar Mitzvah Bacher. The father hired a rabbi to teach his son from 9 to 11 every day a mesechta and teach him the mafter to be able to lay in the mafter. The rabbi's son got engaged. So he said, rightfully so, he's allowed to leave to go to Eretz Yisrael to help out. That's considered a normal situation that people go for, so he's allowed to go. Okay, so he's allowed to leave without suffering financial loss. So even though the father now had to hire a second Rebbe at a higher price, but I was allowed to go, I can't suffer a financial loss. Now, should I get paid the whole thing? So according to some Rishon, we saw that if he got paid ahead of time, or if he came back in time to try to get it in that last week, he might make it. But we said, the Shach says that we don't go for that if he didn't work those 3 weeks, so he doesn't get paid for those 3 weeks either. So it will seem simple, right? Here he is. He should get paid prorated. Except, I think there's going to be a difference between the two parts over here. Right? For the learning of the Masechta, there's no gzeiros hakos if you have to finish a Masechta by your Bar Mitzvah. It's nice, but you didn't finish. So you hired me to learn with your son, and I learned with him 13 out of the 16 weeks. We did 13 out of the 16 blot of the Masechta. We didn't finish the 3 blot, so at least I did my job those 13 weeks, I should get paid. But the part of the pay that you hired me, that I should get him ready to lane, they should be able to lane them after, over there, he didn't lane them after. The guy tried, it didn't work, and nothing worked. We needed me to be there those 3 weeks. And I did not get that job done. So that would be the Nesivus' Chiddush, that if the employer doesn't get any benefit from my work, so then I don't get paid for that. So I think the halacha in this case will be, we have to split the job into two and say, how much does someone get a tutor to teach a child Gemara, and how much is the worth to teach him the mafter? The mafter part, I think he gets nothing because the father got no benefit from that. It's like mowing the lawn the day after the citation. It's like putting an ad in a magazine selling matzahs and it comes out after Pesach. right? I don't have to pay for that. You know, the season's over. So you're going to teach him the mafter for after, you know, he can't learn it for another year, and the bar mitzvah is over by then. So you don't, that you wouldn't get anything for. But for the learning, the fact he didn't finish the mesechta, you can't say the fact that he learned 80% of the mesechta is nothing. He learned 80% of the mesechta, so that I think he would get the regular tutoring wages of whatever he was prorated. He can't get the rest, but at least that much he should get. So that's the way it comes out, that if someone has an onus, happens to him, even though we said normally you cannot, a sachir can never, kavan can never quit, and if you're going to cause a financial loss, no one can quit. But if it's an unavoidable circumstance that forces you to quit, you're allowed to quit. And we said even the cases where you don't lose by quitting, it's still wrong to quit. Here there's nothing wrong in quitting, and you don't lose any of your wages, you have the upper hand, as long as the employer had some benefit from your work. And once again, if there is some customary arrangements made in such cases, that would override these halachas, because we assume that when you got hired with that condition of whatever is customary. Okay, so that's going to be the last of these three. These are three shiurim on the obligations of the employee. We'll switch next week, we'll do a different topic, but in future weeks we'll talk about the obligations of the employer. When does he have a right to fire a worker? When does a worker have a right not to be fired? What happens if he quits in the middle? What happens if the son gets sick in the middle? Right? I'm ready to tutor these 16 weeks, and the son gets sick for three of them. So do I lose out for that? Right? So we'll talk about those in future weeks.